certainly wouldn't want to put anybody at risk. At the same token, God still has a church here in Florence, Arizona, that he wants to move forward. And sometimes those kind of things can affect the momentum of the church. And my intention is to keep preaching. And whether there's five here or 500 here, it really makes no difference to me. I'm not going to change the message. I'm not going to change how we preach. And we'll just keep moving on for the glory of God, and then pray for safety and protection those that are not able to be here. And so so there's a lot going on. And I understand, you know, for the last 2 years, I haven't been in the middle of it as far as from a pastoral perspective, but I sort of expected it to come. And so it's challenging because sometimes you don't know what the best decision is. You don't know what the right decision is. You want to try to keep the church moving forward, but yet at the same time, be cautious and careful at the same token. So just pray for that. We ask for a prayer for wisdom and guidance and direction on those kind of things. But again, we're looking at tonight here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me say this, and we'll get into the message. Something that I've learned is that tough times never last, but tough people do. You know, the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I don't know any time in any church or any Christian's life where they don't face obstacles. And I really like that verse that says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's actually an encouragement. It's a reminder to me, just keep pressing on even when there's adversity. And God generally blesses on the other side of that. And so that's what our desire to do is, church, is to keep pressing on for His glory. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more. Or rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to preach really a two-part message, and I'm not completely through with our journey series, but I really felt the Lord was leading this as some of the things we've been studying and preparing for. I really want to preach a thought on the two-part message, how to act like a Christian. How to act like a Christian. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so thankful again for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here, for those able to be here. Lord, we most importantly ask you to be here. Father, would you come and meet with us now? Would you bless the service? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me the strength and the help that I need, Lord, because I don't have it, God, unless it comes from you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd remove me out of the way. I certainly don't want to be hindered tonight. Let me just be your vessel. Let me be your voice tonight. I do pray for those not able to be here tonight. And again, we especially want to remember Brother Kevin in a special way tonight. Lord, we love him and we miss him. We pray for his safety and protection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All the time, one of the things that we often hear in trying to help people, counsel people, encourage people, as they say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this, or I'm battling with that, or I'm having trouble shake this or shake that. And I can understand that that's part of the normal process as you're trying to grow as a Christian, that you recognize bad habits or you recognize sinful habits that you may have in your life, and something that maybe the devil has taken a stronghold in your life, and it's something that you battle with. Those are real things, and I understand, church, that those are actual things that people deal with on a regular basis. And it's interesting that the Bible, if you study the Word of God, generally when you see a problem, you'll find a solution right after that. Amen. I am old-fashioned in my belief that the Bible is the answer to all of life's problems. Amen. Now, maybe I can't help you find in the Bible how to solve 2 plus 2, But nevertheless, we've got math books for that. But I'm talking about the issues that we face in life. I'm talking about problems that we face in life. I'm talking about spiritual guidance and spiritual needs. The answers are right here in the Word of God. Now, the other thing that I've come to find out, you know, and again, the main theme of what we're focusing on is how to act like a Christian. And one of the things that people often say is, you know, I'm having trouble changing that or having trouble doing that. What I've come to find out is we tend to resort to what we're comfortable with. We tend to resort to what we know. And oftentimes in a battle that Christians have, they go back to that because in a weird way, it actually brings them a sense of comfort. And it's our nature as human beings to want to be comfortable, right? It's our nature as human beings to do with what we know. We don't generally like the unknown. We don't generally like, you know, not having answers to certain things. And again, that's part of our nature. But one of the things that I want to tell you tonight, church, before we go any further, is that if we are going to grow in grace, you have to learn to accept the fact of being uncomfortable. Let me give you another example. Oftentimes when faced with a challenge that people struggle with or they think that it's too hard, generally they'll either quit or say, well, that's a sign that I shouldn't be doing that because it's hard. I've never felt like that's the way to be. I've never felt like that's the way that God built us to be, especially if we're going to carry on the torch and face adversity in life. The schedule that we have now, is it challenging? Is it hard? Yes. Do adjustments need to be made in the ministry and our work? I would say probably so. But just because something is hard doesn't mean that it's worth quitting. Sometimes you have to make adjustments. Sometimes you have to have God for guidance and wisdom. But let's get into our minds tonight, church, that just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's worth quitting. Or just because we're not comfortable with it doesn't mean that it's not what God wants. And you'll hear me say this a lot. Generally, when you step out of your comfort zone, you're stepping right into God's comfort zone. Because God's more comfortable when you're uncomfortable. Because it means that you have no choice but to actually depend on God. When we are uncomfortable in life, the only other alternative to say, I don't have the answers, Lord. I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know how to overcome this battle. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. And I believe that sometimes God says, good, now you're coming to me, and I'm going to give you the help that you need. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said, church, that when I am weak, then I'm made strong. And what amazed me always in that same passage of Scripture, he says, therefore I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's literally what he said. So when I interpret that and when I read that and try to understand that and apply that to us as Christians, it reminds us, going back to what we just said, when we're weak, when we're uncomfortable, when we're helpless, that's exactly where God wants us. And it's in that moment, if we take those burdens and those problems and those desires and those battles and those challenges to God, that God gives us the strength, and thus that actually makes us more powerful as a Christian through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I'm glad that it says His might, because I don't have the power, the ability, the knowledge, or the wisdom on my own. So I'm glad that we can rely on the power of God. Amen. So what we're looking at tonight here is how to act like a Christian. How to move on from our old nature, and how to put on the new nature. And quite literally, the Bible says here, here's one of those examples of a problem and solution. Now, this is in a very general sense, but I believe it'll help us to kind of get our mind geared to what we mean by problem and solution in the Word of God. He says in verse 22, where we started reading, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, here in just a moment, it talks about our speech. The one example that he said was talking about former conversation. In other words, how we used to talk. Things we used to say. That's the old man. Now, the old man, spiritually speaking, is a problem. It is referring to the old nature that we have before we got saved. Okay? When we became saved, As the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We literally take on a new nature through just Jesus Christ, a new identification through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when it says put on the old man, put off the old man, it's not talking about putting Chuck outside. Amen? That's not what it's saying, Chuck. Right? We're not going to do that to you, bud. But it's talking about our old sinful nature is what it's referring to, church. Put off the old man. Now, the old man's the problem because he's sinful, cares nothing about the things of God, not concerned about the things of God, really, in theory, has no motivation to want to change his lifestyle and change his habits. That's a problem. The old man is a problem. What does it say to do about that? In verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. And then if you notice later on in verse 24, and put on the what? The new man, which is after who? God created in righteousness and holiness. Now, if you look at by contrast, the old man, it says, is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The exact opposite of that is our nature created in God, that is holiness and righteousness. Are you starting to go come with me, church, and in this line of thinking that there's a problem, the old man, the corrupt nature, the sinful nature, but yet the solution is to put on the new man, which is righteous and holy in God. Problem, solution. So when we take a step back and we say, how am I supposed to act like a Christian, Pastor? I don't know what to do. Well, the first thing that we need to do is put off the old man and put on the new man. Because the new man is holy and righteous in God. The old man is corrupt and deceitful according to the Bible. The example that it actually gives there, and this is probably our first thing, when I'm going to give you three simple examples. These are really just examples. We could spend time talking about a lot of other things, but the first thing that we have to learn to change if we're going to properly act like a Christian is our speech. Now, he mentions there, verse number 22, the former conversation. Again, what's that former? Former is past tense again. What's it referring to? It's referring to the old man, right? That's our conversation before, the old man. But notice what it says here when we're talking about our speech. If we're going to act right as a Christian, we have to consciously be aware of our speech, what we say. And notice what it says. In verse 24, put on the new man, which is in after God created in righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There's another problem solution. What's the problem? What's the sin? Lying. What's the solution? Speak the truth. Quite literally, speak the truth. Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. He goes on to say here down in verse number 29, again talking about the former conversation, that's the problem. How we talk, how we speak. In 29 it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. What's the problem? Corrupt communication. What's the solution? That you only speak those things which edify, in other words, encourage, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Problem is corrupt communication. Answer and solution is edifying and speaking grace unto all hearers, everyone who listens to you. Problem, solution. Old man, new nature. Put off the old man, put on the new nature. Now, let me say something about our speech real quick. Oftentimes we think, well, our speech, you know, Pastor, I don't use curse words, and I hope you don't. If you don't, then praise God. Say, well, that means I'm good, right? No, not necessarily. Well, Pastor, I don't say mean things to people. And by the way, I hope you don't. If you do, then we need to apply this biblical principle on how to treat people right by putting off the old man and putting on the new. But here's where it gets a little tricky, because we often think, because we don't say something directly offensive, or we don't curse, or we don't speak in a certain way. I mean, bless God, we speak as the Bible says, as the oracles of God. In other words, the terminology that we see in the Bible. But understand that our speech is also gossiping. Our speech is also complaining, right? That is part of our speech. And if you really break it down, whether it's cursing, whether it's being offensive, whether it's gossiping, or whether it's anything else concerning things that come out of our mouth, complaining, do you realize, friend, at the very basic nature, all of those things are corrupt? So how is that corrupt? Well, first of all, if we're swearing, then we just talked about last week, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And really that principle applies today. Because if we're swearing, then that means that there's things in our heart and our mind that really coming in we shouldn't be talking about. If we're offensive to people, that means there's probably a problem with our spirit and our temperament and our attitude. We ought to be careful how we talk to people, how we treat people. If we're constantly gossiping, friend, there's a problem with tearing people down. Not going to that person. If there's a problem with complaining, that means we're not thanking God. So each one of those things that we describe, biblically speaking, are actually corrupt in nature. They literally corrupt your spirit. If we're constantly in a state of complaining, then we don't have a heart of gratitude. If we're constantly gossiping, then what we're doing is running people down, and we don't have time to read over all the scripture where the Bible speaks about gossiping and devouring one another. So you see, one of the first ways that will help us identify as Christians how we ought to act, how we ought to treat people, is concerning our speech. Friend, be careful what we say. And I don't just mean, again, because we're not using swear words. We should be careful what we say. And I have to add today, because of social media, we should be careful what we post. So as we said before, we have to watch our tongues and our thumbs. Right? Everybody with me on that? So number one tonight, we are understanding this biblical process that, hey, we have a problem with our speech. Well, the Bible says put off the old man and put on the new. Put off the former conversation. Put on the new conversation. If we have trouble, let no corrupt communication proceed in mind. Talk only things that edify and minister grace unto the hearers. I think that one thing that would help us when it comes to our speech, if we would ask ourselves the question, does this honor God? Is what I'm about to say honor God and encourage people? Now, with that being said, I realize there's times where you have to, in the right way, in the right spirit, confront a brother or sister or confront a family member. I believe that that's proper. I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. But it is an important principle to know and understand if we're trying to learn how to act like Christians. Now, if we don't care about acting like Christians, then everything that I'm saying to you tonight is irrelevant. But if you care about how we're supposed to act as Christians, then this is a biblical principle that we must apply. Put off the old, put on the new. We've talked about, first of all, in our speech. Second of all, let's talk a little bit about our attitude. You notice there in verse number 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, when we think about anger, we really think about our temperament. We think about how well we're able to control ourselves. In essence, we're going to quickly describe it by one word being our attitude. Now, the Bible does not tell us that it's sinful to be angry. Quite literally says right here, be angry and sin not. There's a lot of things that bother me. There's a lot of things that I'm angry about. As in a godly wrath or godly anger, I'm not happy about some of the opposition that we've had concerning our church. But I'm not angry at one particular person. There's a difference. So you can have a godly anger and still not be sinful in the process. The key is controlling our attitude. And keeping our spirit in check. Now, it says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So obviously indicating to us that if we do get angry, it ought to be something that we ought to deal with quickly. Okay? I have known people that stayed up all night because they were angry. And I get that, and I understand that. And if that's how you take it, that I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me. I do think that there's times where you ought to seriously pray about things and consider things and sleep on them. Right? I do realize that there's times where you're not going to come up with a solution every single time. And that sometimes it really legit is best if you actually pray and sleep on it. Okay? Now, the key is you got to actually pray and you got to actually seek counsel from the Lord. All right? Otherwise, you're not actually dealing with it. Now, the very next verses need to give place to the devil. Now, it's funny how the devil will use even little things to spark up our anger, spark up our attitude, resentment, all kinds of things will happen. Now somebody said, I heard it a long time ago, give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. Or give the devil an inch, another way I've heard it said is he'll be your ruler. Right? Either way, don't give him anything. Bible says neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him a chance. Don't give him an opportunity to come in and affect your attitude and affect your temperament and affect your spirit of what God wants you to do, because it does affect your spirit when you come to the house of God. If we come to the house of God and we're coming with an attitude, then church, it is going to affect our spirit here at the church. Right? It does affect things. That's why, with all due respect, I generally try not to hear about... I'm trying to rephrase things. I started to say complaints, but I'm going to rephrase it to say concerns. We try not to hear those things before the service, because I'm a man and I'm human just like you, and it might affect my attitude. I wish I could tell you that it wouldn't, but I don't want it to. So I try to put those things off. That's why, you know, and again, I'm trying to teach our people here. You generally will always see me come out right before service is about to start. That's not by accident. That's on purpose. I'll greet you as much as I possibly can, but it's because sometimes people aren't mindful of the things that they say. And church, the most important thing that I have to do at that moment is bring the message to you that God's laid upon our heart. Okay? But if we are not careful, we can allow things to affect our attitude, and how our attitude affects our treatment of other people, so thus it actually affects on how we act as Christians. So the first thing that we've talked about tonight is concerning our speech. The second thing is concerning our attitude, be angry and sin not, need to give place to the devil. You'll start to see the same kind of pattern concerning the old man. Old problems, old battles. Here's another one in 28. Let him that stole. There's the problem. He's a thief. What's the answer? Steal no more. If you're a thief, stop it. Quit doing it. Let him that stole steal no more. But watch this. They say, well, that sounds easy, Pastor. I mean, that doesn't sound too easy. Obviously, we know that you have to stop. But here's where the replacement comes in. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, isn't that interesting? You would say, well, that sounds easy. Obviously, the thief needs to stop stealing. Yeah, but not only does it tell him to stop, it actually says replace it. Instead of getting to the place where you need to steal, how about you get a job and work for it yourself? That's literally what the Bible is telling us. So that way you're not even tempted to steal. If you've gone out and worked for money yourself and you're providing, making a living yourself, it's going to reduce your temptation to steal. The Bible is literally saying, instead of stealing, go to work. Right. Now, if you think about that, most thieves today that break into houses and steal things and they take it to pawn shops and just, they don't care what they get. They just got something and they want it. to get whatever they can, make a quick dollar. Most of them don't have jobs. Isn't that interesting? Because they're just walking around, looking for opportunities. And a lot of times, that's simply it. They're opening, checking if your car door's open, checking if your front door's unlocked. Just a quick, easy. Now, some take it to other extremes. They break windows. They break doors open. I get it. I understand that. But the common thief, that's what they do. They're just looking for something quick. Oh, that door's unlocked. Oh, nobody looks like nobody's home. What can I take here? Let me take a few things and get out of here. Generally, they don't clean everything out. They just take a few things. They go to places. They see if you got a jewelry box, and they take what they can. But according to, if they literally applied what the Bible said, they wouldn't be out stealing because they'd be busy working like you are. Am I right? That's literally what the Bible says. Now, again, this is just another example. But the big picture of what we're looking at tonight is how to treat people. If we apply what the Bible says when there is a problem, look to the Word of God for the solution. It goes on to say, we read verse 29 already, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edified that may minister grace unto the hearers. We've talked about our speech. We've talked about our attitude. And the last thing, let's look at our spirit. Our spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, here are some examples that can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If we have bitterness in our heart, it's going to affect our spirit. And then when we try to come to the house of God and we're harboring that bitterness in our heart, you are literally grieving the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God is trying to work on your heart, but we won't let Him because we've got bitterness in there. And we're literally grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If we come in here as we just described, it's reinforcing that thought again right here in the Scripture, church. It says wrath and anger. We said a second ago that it affects the spirit in the church if we come in angry. We've just been duking it out all week. Can I say something that will help us all to treat people good and act like Christians? Learn to just let some things go. There's just some things not even worth arguing about. Honestly. You remember one of the early messages when we were talking about Abraham? And he went to Lot. And he said, Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren. I wish that we would consider that. It's not worth the strife. It's not worth the tension. It's not worth the animosity. Christians, if you want to treat other Christians right, you're just going to have to learn to let things go. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they did. Do you know what you did concerning your life before God? So what are you talking about? God has been gracious to you, and He's been gracious to me. And it's fascinating to me that we always want to receive grace, but we never want to give it. We want people to be merciful to us. We want people to be gracious to us. But when it comes time for us, We let little things that at the end of the day don't really matter, that aren't even going to change our lives, affect us. And it kills and grieves the Spirit of God. Some of the best advice that I can give you is just learn to let some things go. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now here in verse 31, we've seen a list of problems. What are the problems? Bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, and clamor. Those are all problems. You know who that is? That's the old man. There he is again, showing his ugly face in verse 31. There's the old man right there. Guess where the new man is? We see the problem. Somebody help me. Where's the solution? What verse is it in? 32. Now thank you, Brother Dana. You guys are fast learners. And be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, in verse 31, we're angry, we're bitter, we're upset, we're making mountains out of molehills. That's the old man. Oh, but we get old to old 32. The new man, boy, he's kind. He's tender-hearted. You know what I've also come to find out about tender-hearted? And this just goes with spiritual maturity. This will help you to let things go. A person who's tender-hearted generally will consider to himself when he's done wrong, you know, that's all right. They might be having a bad day. You know, that's all right. I don't know what they're dealing with today, but you know what? Instead of being angry, I'm going to pray for them. That's generally what tender-hearted people do. I remember hearing a story of a pastor who went out to dinner, took some folks out to dinner with him, and they got a server, and the server was rude. The server was impatient. The server she didn't keep the drinks filled up. The food was cold. The order was wrong. I mean, every possible problem that you could think of went wrong. Now, before I tell you the rest of that story, I'm going to do a Paul Harvey on you in just a second. Everybody know who Paul Harvey? Everybody okay with that? Okay, just want to make sure. My kids don't know about Paul Harvey. We have this mentality, and this will help us as Christians, that we are American citizens, bless God, and if I pay for a service, then I'm going to get a good service. And if I don't get a good service, boy, they're going to know about it. Right? And boy, one of the areas that we really get fired up about is when we go to a restaurant and we don't get good service from the waiter. Gets us fired up. All of a sudden, we start talking in such a way. We start giving them down the road. We start evil speaking, like the Bible just described. And that person would have, if you were to come back and ask them, did you know that person was a Christian? They'd probably be shocked. There's no way that person's a Christian by the way they talked to me and the way they treated me. There's no way. Now, all of us have had bad service. And I'm not saying there's not a time to speak up and say, hey, you know, the order was wrong. Can you fix it, please? Or this just, you know, this wasn't cooked right. Can you correct it? I'd appreciate it. We can still act like a Christian and express our concern. But oftentimes what we do, no, bless God, I'm paying for this meal, and boy, it's my way or the highway, and you know, we're just going to let them have it. I don't personally think that's good as Christians. Listen, if the meal's wrong, then get it corrected. Make it right. No problem. Watch our spirit. Watch our temperament. Going back to now the rest of the story, this pastor had taken his family out and boy, just had a horrible, horrible experience. And when it came time to leave, of course, you know what we do. You know, we're going to let them know. They gave them badges. We're not giving them no tip. They didn't deserve a tip. They didn't earn it. And probably they didn't. He decided to give her a big tip. Anyway. Because he was tender-hearted enough to realize that, you know what, something's probably wrong. Something probably not right. That waiter knew that she didn't deserve that tip. And when she saw what he had left, she immediately started crying. It turned out that she had recently lost a baby, had some sort of miscarriage, was struggling to pay her bills, stressed out to the max, and wasn't having a good time. And because that pastor left that tip, he was able to come back in and share the gospel with her and lead her to Christ. Because he didn't feel the need to take his American right to speak up. Instead, be tender-hearted and said, you know what? She's probably having a bad day. Probably she's not like this all the time or she would have been fired. Or she wouldn't be working here. I'll be gracious anyway. But here's our problem. They don't deserve it. I never said they deserved it. But it's called grace. It's called having a forgiving spirit. And that's what Christians do. And that's how Christians act. You let things go. You're tender. You're forgiving. You're gracious. That's how we as Christians should act and treat other people. Because if you look at that verse, what the Bible's teaching us, we've already seen the problem. We've seen the old man rear his ugly head. But then we've seen the answer. And be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Well, God is just, I love the wisdom of God where he said, hey, you know, that if he had stopped right there, that verse would still be a good verse. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If God had stopped it right then, it'd still be a good verse. But this verse takes it over the top when he says and reminds us, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, you be gracious because I'm gracious. You be forgiving because I'm forgiving. I never said they deserved it, but you didn't either. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Church, if we can apply these biblical principles, problem solution, put off the old man, put on the new man, it'll go a great way in helping us learn how to treat people like Christians according to the Word of God to treat people. Let's stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I asked my son to play something soft. Maybe you've got a need tonight. I don't know what that need is. I know there's a lot with heavy hearts tonight, even some not here tonight. I realize that. You know, the Gospels say, or actually, in fact, Christ said himself, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple if you love one another. In other words, the proof, the evidence that people will know that you are a follower of Christ is how you treat your brother. That you show love one to another. Isn't it funny how we can be so patient and so kind sometimes with our children? And boy, we're very forgiving, you know. That doesn't mean they don't upset us and frustrate us, but boy, we're very forgiving and we forget about it and move on. When the Bible tells us that we should be that way with our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. By this shall I may know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Friend, when we talk wrong, when we act wrong, when we have a bad spirit and a bad attitude, that's the old man showing up. Thank God there's a solution. It's called the new man. The new man doesn't act like the old man. Now I realize the old man shows his ugly face every now and then. I remember hearing the story about an old Indian who had two dogs. And these two dogs were constantly fighting. They were constantly in conflict, one with the other. And somebody asked the old Indian, he said, "Which dog wins the fight?" And the old Indian said, "Whichever one I feed the most. Whichever one I feed the most." You know what, church? If you'll study the Word of God, you'll see that the old flesh, the old man, and the spirit, the new man, are constantly in conflict with one another. Say, well, which one's going to win? The one that you feed the most. If you're constantly feeding the flesh, if you're constantly feeding the old man, don't be surprised when the old man's always winning. Oh, but friend, if you want to feed the new man, and if you want to feed the Spirit of God that is within you, then you know what you're going to start to see? You're going to start to see that new man winning. Because you fed that spirit instead of feeding the old flesh. This will go a long way in helping us learn how to treat other people. Not just Christians, other people. Let me just ask this question. I'm just going to keep it very general. If you're here tonight, you got a special need on your heart, would you slip up your hand and we'll just take it to the Lord in that matter. Say, "Pastor, I've got a special need in my heart. Would you pray for me?" Anybody, just slip up. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. "Pastor, I've got a special need in my heart. Would you pray for me?" Anybody else? Anybody else? Before we pray. Thank you. I see that hand. There's someone here tonight. I don't want to take for granted. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we do want to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Anybody at all? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that were able to make it tonight. Lord, we know there's several that were not. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to consider these biblical truths on how we ought to treat each other, how Christians ought to act. Lord, how we need to crucify the old man and put on the new man. Lord, to feed our new nature, not feed the old flesh. Help us, Lord, to learn this biblical principle. We've seen the problems. You've given us the solution. Help us to continue to grow in grace, Lord. Be with the ones who lifted their hands with a special need on their heart. You know what it is. Whatever that need may be, I pray that you meet it. Lord, again, we ask for the special requests that were mentioned tonight. In particular, Brother Kevin tonight. Lord, not that we don't care about the other ones, but Lord, we know there's a special need. Pray for him and uplift him tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. God bless you. Again, if you have an offering that you wanted to drop in, you're welcome to do that. We'll take it to the back. But I didn't.